How's Dominique been lately?
Bad or good?
Let's find out. This is Roses and Thorns.
Welcome to a very special episode of Roses and Thorns. So we normally just end the show on Monday with Roses and Thorns, but it's been such an awesome segment that we are going to give you a full Roses and Thorns only episode. Hope we got the stamina. Let's roll. Welcome to Roses and Thorns, a very special episode. Gonna get double the Dominique and Ashley. What's up, buddy? Welcome.
You even recognize me?
Why wouldn't I? Oh, you're tan from the...
I'm so brown.
I mean, of course I recognize you. I was with you when you got brown. Like, we're just back from spring break, and I turned 40 over the spring break, and there's...
It was his birthday trip.
Yes.
I forgot to use... I think I'd never use the hashtag. I'm good. Such a hashtag failure.
There was one thing that I was... I mean, I'm 40, so like lots of things it hurt and I'm old and whatever, but I've been surprised at how weak my skin has gotten. Like the second half of the trip we spent in Miami, and like I got sunburned, and like
and it was cloudy.
I think I've been sunburned like once in my life, and like my whole job was outside. Just my melanated skin rejected the sunburn, but now it's just weak. And
you get burnt before I do.
I know, it's ridiculous. Well, I mean, you still can't come close to my coffee colored complexion. Good luck to you. Keep trying. You get caramel. Deep as you get caramel. That's the highest level.
I don't know what comes after. I'm thinking it's praline. Is praline after caramel?
I don't know.
I'm going to say it is.
Isn't that like a bakery?
Those little sticky buns that Declan gets have pralines on them. And I think those are a little browner than caramel. Anyway, no.
I can get coffee. I can get
mocha. Would you say that your little weak skin is getting...
Mahogany? It is weak.
Honestly, though, when I saw you tan, I was like, oh, this is how he was when I used to date. Like, you know, when we first started dating, he used to always be outside working. Yeah. So you were always like, you know, much darker. But anyway, it was fun. Thank you. That's an early, easy rose. Thank you for planning such a lovely birthday trip for yourself that you invited us on. I really felt like it was like such a gift because, you know, I love such a gift to me on your birthday because, you know, I love like four seasons. Like, I think that's one of my favorite things about living in DC is that we should get all four seasons. Lately, people joke that DC spring is either like an extension of winter, which I don't think it's just DC. I think it's like probably a global warming thing on much of the East Coast, but our spring is either an extension of winter. And then there's like a week of nice weather before like just the humidity comes in and takes over, or that, like, you know, summer just starts really early with the humidity and stuff. But you gave me winter because DC this year really like did not have much. Like, there was, I think, no measurable snow. I know there was no measurable snow, but I feel like there might have been no snow here.
The trip was fun.
You gave me winter in Aspen.
You're welcome. That was great. The best part of the trip was I joked I did some stuff with Levitar while I was in Miami, and we were talking
that
about
that was the best part of the trip for you?
No, I was telling the story.
I was about to be highly concerned.
No, it was the worst part of the trip. Dan's
no, Dan's great.
Yeah, I love him. But I was telling him this story about how we were talking about like women in our life and like how important they are and how great they are and whatever, how they make our lives better. The story that I was telling was from our trip and how it happens all the time. And what happened on our trip was our flight to Denver worked out. We landed Denver. Our flight from Denver to Aspen is canceled because there's a snowstorm. And
we didn't know that it was because of snowstorm. We were hoping it was wind.
Well, it got canceled because we thought that it might be wind because they're only small planes from Denver to Aspen. So,
and that's honestly, someone told me it was wind.
Yeah. And so the thing that I wanted to thank you for and your rose of many roses is I love that I don't have to worry about certain things. It's just great. So we landed and all right, so we got a little bit of vacation and we're going to give up some of this vacation. And then Ashley sprung into action. I took the kids and went and sat down and entertained them for the hour it took Ashley to get everything straight. Next thing I know, it's 30 minutes, maybe 40 minutes in the Denver airport before we're on a sprinter van to Aspen. And
with our luggage was the most important.
Yeah, with our luggage. Yeah, so we had to pack a bunch of stuff.
Although, quite honestly, I had packed to lose our luggage because we had carry-ons and big bag. Like, I'm so anxious, again, I think of the worst case scenarios, but my sister who was with us, she didn't pack like I did. So like every person had a roll-on, and then between the five of us, we had also three checked bags. And so the roll-ons like had all of our, like, all the kids' summer clothes, basically, so I didn't have to repack them on one half, and then ski set and snow boots. So, like, if we had to make it through Aspen for one day while our luggage was getting to us, let's say it was late, but my sister wasn't like that, so I was like, we need our luggage, because she cannot not be able to ski with us.
You're to me, it feels like you're kind of like a dolphin always looking for water, and water is the crisis. You're just, like, flopping around on land, anxious all the time, then all of a sudden it's a flood, and you're
big
like...
news, I took some anxiety medicine today for the first time in my life. I got a new prescription right before we left and figured, why not try it? It's one I don't have to take every day, and it's not, like, strong like Xanax. Apparently, it's something that, like, just keeps your heart rate a little bit lower. I figured it was a low pressure day. I should see how I did with it. So, yeah, I won't be like a dolphin anymore.
I want to let everybody know that the second half of this episode, we're going to do a special game that the producers came up with. A dating app game, maybe, which should be pretty fun.
Always dreamed of being on a dating
but
app.
the coolest part of, or I guess the scariest part. So we're on this car to Aspen. We thought it was just wind. So we're like, yeah, we'll drive there.
Yeah, this is why I actually don't like the story. I basically almost killed our whole family.
It's 3 hours from, like, 3.5 hours, right? 4 hours.
Four.
4 hours from Denver to Aspen. And so we are in the car, and it's fine.
You have this lovely Russian driver. Do you remember what I had to tell our Russian driver, which I shouldn't have? But I'm trying to connect with Gregory, right? Gregory's our driver. I could tell he was Russian from his accent. Sometimes his audiobook would go off Bluetooth and I would hear it. And, like, I don't know Russian, but, like, I recognize that his book was in Russian.
The guttural sounds.
Yeah, our son, before the conflict, the war in Russia, our son somehow just became really into, like, USSR history. And he really likes Russia. So I say to Greg, and Dominic's like, that's like telling someone, my son likes black people, which it totally
it was
is.
Terrible.
But I was
it's
like,
terrible.
It was terrible.
So
but
we're riding, like, and you're like, Gregory, where are you from? Gregory said, Russia. And he said, oh, my son knows black people. And, like, essentially, my son likes Russia. Like, it's a ridiculous thing.
Because
Declan,
like, is obsessed. Like, he has this little crew of friends.
He's not as much anymore.
Consider it weird if you want. But, like, for birthday parties, he'd be running late to a birthday party because he would have to, like, translate the note in the card into Russian for his little, like, friends that really like it. You might have to edit all this out because it might be something else we can't say right now. But he just really was into, like, I don't know. He always wanted to wear a new Shanka. He wanted, like, a military coat. It was a little weird, okay? He has faces. But anyway, I was so excited for Declan to meet, like, a Russian person.
That it doesn't make it sound any worse. Just take out Russian and put in black person and imagine a white person saying that, and then you realize how
I know,
absurd
so excited it. For them to meet. Like, but I mean, if somebody was like you, I saw actually on our flight, like, Dominique, he really wanted to be for spring break, but it didn't work out for him, and we're not even going to get into that. Was Botswana? I saw a woman coming onto our plane who had her passport out. She boarded it or whatever visa, whatever, and it said from, like, Botswana, and I was like, oh my god, I hope she sits next to Dominique and he can learn about Botswana from her. And she didn't. She kept walking because, unfortunately, you were sitting between our children, so there was really no way that she could have sat next to you. But anyway, so I just felt like it was a connection that might have mattered.
I think there's
more
a better way to say it.
There
is a better way to say it. It's like, my son is really interested in Russian history. Like, he's
well,
become
I think I did start like that.
In the World War.
I did start like that.
No, you didn't. You said, my son likes Russia.
Loves Russian. Loves the, you know, not right now. He doesn't appreciate what's happening.
Well,
now.
I mean, you called it a conflict, and then you said it was in Russia. So, like, I feel like you're on the wrong scene. It's a war, and it's
in
Ukraine.
It is bad. It is bad. I'm not trying to get banned. I'm not trying to get in trouble with anybody.
Canceled,
here.
Is that what you're looking for?
But yeah. You guys take all that out. But no, but what I was really trying to do was, like,
talk.
Especially
you don't
as
have to
I
edit.
Saw
just talk. They'll figure it out.
I love editing while I talk. Especially
no, you
as
don't,
I,
actually. It would be a lot easier for them to edit if you actually did like to edit.
I like editing after I say things. Because, like, I feel like I've seen a lot of Grey's Anatomy episodes where they're like, you have to, like, tell someone something about your life, like, to get the surgeon to care more about you. Like, so I was like, our lives are in Gregory's
That's what they
hands.
Say
like,
if someone
wanna,
has,
like,
a gun aimed at you.
Yeah.
It's like,
I wanted to connect with Gregory because once I saw that snow coming down as we passed Vail, so we're like an hour away, and suddenly there's a blizzard and we're in the Sprinter, and I look up, we were watching Swarm, which is not like a peaceful, calming show,
Swarm,
by the way.
Yeah.
But we were watching Swarm on Dominique's computer, and, like, it's all these rows of the kids and my sister
Amazon.
In the back. And I looked up and was like, oh, shit. And was nervous. So I just started trying to connect with Gregory. I was like, also, Gregory, like, if you want to stop, we can get you a hotel.
The reason why you want to connect with someone is so that they like value your humanity so that they don't shoot you. Gregory didn't want to die either.
What did I say? Well, remember what he said when I finished messing up whatever my point was? Do you remember? He was like shocked by it. He was like, well, that's very pleasant to hear.
He said he was like Russia,
and he said it kind of like, oh, yeah. Why'd you have to ask that? And then I was like, oh.
But anyway, the point was, we were riding out. Once we got past Vail, it started snowing pretty hard, but not enough for me to be concerned. And Ashley like essentially told Gregory, like, we can get a hotel for everybody. Like, pull over wherever you could get a hotel. And I was like, I looked out the window, like, yeah, whatever, it's not a big deal. And then like an hour later, I looked up, we're on a single lane road and it is a blizzard. And Gregory's just humming down the road and I'm scared. I'm like clutching your leg. Like, oh,
I know. Well. He's like, don't look up. He's like, because I had not taken my anxiety. I thought about it. Honestly, I had it in my purse and I was like, this is your moment, girl. But I didn't do it.
Was there any other, I want to get to the game eventually. Was there any other highlights by the game, not just the game that our producers put together? We'll get to that too, but also the women's national championship game. But before we get there, were there any other highlights of the trip that you want to talk about? Like, Declan came into skiing really quickly and he loved it. We're skiing through the mountains and I was exhausted because we skied for...
And me and the girls left early. Well, actually, Avery stayed late the last couple
days. No, I mean, she stayed later.
But she was like, I'm going to go have hot chocolate. She's wanting to be like left alone. She was like, if I tell mom to leave, but then I change my mind, I get to sit by myself at the lodge and have hot chocolate and make mommy nervous that I'm alone while daddy and Deck stay out. So you're right.
So we skied from 9 to 3 every day, me and Deck, for 3 days in a row. I was beat and he was fine. And then we would come back and go swimming. Like, they had a pool, an outdoor pool and hot tub. Well, I mean, the pool was just as hot as the hot tub, honestly. So it's 20 degrees outside and we're in the pool.
You were happy to be out there showing off those abs you just been working while you were skiing. They were popping.
The thing is, like, 40. I appreciate that you grade me on a curve, but I don't grade myself on a curve. I know what it was like, and it ain't like that no more. Like, I feel comfortable in a room full of other 40-year-old men, but like, I've fallen off quite a bit, but that's all right.
He used to look like a turtle. Like, it wasn't attractive. Yeah, he looks much more attractive now.
I liked it. I was ripped. Now I'm just like a fit dad, which, gross. Wants to be a fit dad.
Well, I have a rose about myself, and it's not your rose about me. I've read a book. I like was an English major in school. I was an English teacher. I went to grad school. I had to do a lot of reading. But since like I finished school, like, which honestly, I think I finished my last program probably like 7 or 8 years ago whenever we left. But like, I go through phases with my reading. I used to do okay with reading, but then it was like, I had to read so much stuff that I didn't want to, that now sometimes like, reading. But I brought a book, just like one that my sister had left here one time. And it was like interesting for me because I don't normally read. Like, it was like, it's by Glennon Doyle. Is that her name? She's like a big, you know, I'm like podcaster writer. And it's not self-help books, but it's like autobiographical, like essays kind of, that like have lessons in them. And she's a white woman. And so much when I was in school, I always grabbed, I think it started because I went to like all white schools for much of my life, from like fourth grade through high school. Not all, I mean, predominantly white, like 90% white. And so there wasn't a lot of representation of like Black literature. And so whenever I could, when you had like the choice to read something, I always wanted to choose like a Black book. And so then when I was an English major at Maryland, my concentration was African-American literature. And so like basically all I read is like African-American literature. And honestly, so much of the new stuff I read, I'm like, oh, but I missed like the old stuff, like the stuff from the Harlem Renaissance or whatever. But I was like, you know what? Like, this is essay, something I can put down easily. There was actually a short stories book that I was looking for. And I loved it. And it felt right on time. And like, it made me proud to like try something new and different. And now like, I want to keep trying her other stuff, although some of them might not totally be for me. And like, literally some of the stories I would read, like a couple, I was like, Dominic, read this. Like it just fit the moment of like stuff that was going on in our lives so well. So I'm really grateful that I did that. And I really am like thinking like, maybe I should push outside my bubble more, but then I'm also like, I don't know. And I think that's probably unique to like being a Black person, like with Trap Taboo, for instance. Like, I've for years played regular Taboo, and for years probably hardly understood some of the clues, like, because there are these things like in like wider, like you know, American white culture that I'm like, I didn't grow up knowing who this is. You put Luther Vandross on a car, like I can make someone guess it in 5 seconds. But like some of the artists that they reference in Taboo.
Not everyone. I mean, not everyone knows Luther. You can't.
I can make Luther when I say Vandross. Everyone, I mean, like the people who would be at my game.
Night, yeah.
Right? And so, but like some of the random old artists there, I'm like, I have no idea. Like who, what a Casey and the Sunshine Band. Like that's, I mean, that's
you went out of your way though. Cause like you are very culturally black, despite the fact that you like, by that, I mean, distinct from American culture. So like I feel like I know more, despite the fact that I went to all black schools for much of my life.
But that's,
I know
probably why though
about, yeah, I guess you like kind of overcompensate.
And like my parents raised us in an environment where it's like this is what we're listening to.
But like I'm surprised, you know, that like I know more about like general,
I know, like 90s
white
pop.
American culture. Yeah, that's true. Like, you know, Britney Spears.
Like, I can sing you all the Britney Spears, NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, Christina Aguilera, because that's like when I was in school, right? Like with my friends, and it's what we were listening to, but I wasn't listening to the things that their parents at home were listening to. Like I had never heard a Rolling Stones song in my life until like very recently. And that shocked one of my daughter's friends.
Yeah, and that's just because you were on Instagram, because I can't name a Rolling Stones song. It was just because you needed, like it was Rainbow or something. You like needed an Instagram. So I remember when you were like, hey, the Rolling Stones song, I like it. And I was like,
actually, you're right. It was, I searched Rainbow. I think it's Rolling Stones. She's a Rainbow. But then I heard it on Ted Lasso and I was saying, oh my God, song on Ted Lasso. Although they had Afro beats on the last episode. So watch out.
I mean, I think, yeah, all the people around our kids, like doctors and pediatricians, dentists, like you go out of your way. Occasionally it's not, but you, and I mean that's one of the reasons why you want to live in DC, or at least that's what you told me.
Yeah,
it's like it's a thriving black professional atmosphere where you can have like black lawyers,
which like doesn't exist. Like when we lived in Boston, we lived in New York, and obviously
even Baltimore, it wasn't, yeah, at least it didn't feel like the part we lived in. But I'll run through the rest of our vacation really quickly. You can stop me if there's anything else that jumps out.
Okay, but I have another rose and thorn for you real quick.
Okay, give it to me. Well, actually, I'll just run through, and if it fits, you stop it. All right, so I think Avery smashed a book in like a couple of days too. I think she beat you to the end of her book. She's so much like you.
She had already started it.
Oh, okay.
Mine, I started on that plane.
I was proud of her though, because she had her phone. She had her phone with her. She's 12 and she has a phone, and we took off the screen time restrictions while we were on vacation, and she had her phone with her a lot. And then one of the last days in Florida, she just left her phone in the room and took her book. And I was like, oh, no one pressured you. And I think Emerson, our youngest, had altitude sickness and threw up 13 times in one day. She told us.
She said 14. She was keeping count.
Yeah. But then she was fine. And that's about it. Declan caught some fish in the ocean with a net, and some also with his bare hands, which was kind of absurd and scary. But if
Emerson
has
a little bit of germophobia in her, like I do, so like we can stay in the nicest, cleanest looking hotel, and she won't even drink after me. She says, "Mommy, saliva's gross." But you know what? I don't really want to drink after my kids either, so I'm not mad. Except for I'm a little offended because she will drink after Dominique, but whatever. But somehow she thought, like, she kept throwing up.
Saliva's not gross.
She kept throwing, spitting up in the sink, and we're like, then Dominique would have to like clean the hotel sink out, which is gross. And so luckily I have, because I'm a germaphobe, like Lysol, Clorox wipes. Eventually I got some cleaning stuff from the housekeeping staff. But eventually she started throwing up, like, please get it in the toilet, because my sister was going to stay with her. Neither of us wanted to go skiing on the last day because it was like 7 degrees outside. So me and my sister basically fought over who got to stay with the sick child. And so my sister won, but she lost. Like, we both lost, basically. And so I went to the mountain for like an hour. And my sister's like, what the, and sent a picture. Emerson was literally standing on the toilet seat, because like we were like, you have to throw, but she didn't want her face near the hotel toilet bowl. So she would stand on the seat, like with her feet, and bend down and try to spit up into the toilet, which obviously made a big mess. So we had to learn a lot about, you know, a lot of things, like the proper way to spit up, which apparently we don't teach our kids. And then it just never worked out. So eventually I got a bunch of plastic cups, because she was, at this point, it was just like water. So it wasn't that much. So I just gave her plastic cups every time that I would dump in the toilet. And I would go like every time once I got back and had to help.
I was surprised. And this is something I've been telling everybody, and this is related to the black culture thing, is I'd always thought in earmuffs, white people, I'd always thought that black people, we understood that when you were in a environment where there weren't very many black people, that the fewer black people you see, the more vigorously you should like greet the black people that you see. I have to say, you Aspen blacks was letting me down. I saw like 3 black people in Aspen, and they did not Like, they didn't greet me the way
maybe
I was.
You were
expecting.
So covered in ski gear, they didn't know. I saw people who were lovely to me. Maybe it was you.
Yeah, maybe it is. Maybe, but I didn't feel like I didn't feel very safe. If the revolution started, I didn't think none of them had my back. I thought we was gonna be. I was gonna be by myself. Hey, but I mean, put up a fight. Something. Let me know that you got my. You know what I'm talking about. Like, it's just kind of an understood thing, and it was a teachable
moment. But I don't think about it in terms of a revolution. Like, this is where you and me are different.
That's just a joke. But like, the point is because like, yeah. I mean, maybe we'll but the point is, like, it's like we should greet each other with something because, like, we know. And so it was a teachable moment. So I got to talk to the kids, like, see, this is what you don't do. When you see Black people in a place where they're the only Black people, you give them a big smile, say, "What's up, brother?" These are things that must be said, and then move on.
That's the second time that's come up in our household in a couple of weeks, because our daughter was doing this like big social studies project where it's like digging into your family's culture. And it's like a long-term project where it's like, you know, getting stories from the past, like doing like a family tree, trying to trace your roots to stuff. And having grown up in white environments, those projects always annoy the crap out of me, because it, like, when I would be giving them back in the 90s, it's like, well, where does your family come from? Like, I don't effing know. Like, everybody, like, oh, my family's Italian, my family's Irish, my family's this. And I'm like, and this was before 23andMe and all that stuff, right? Which I still have not done, but my sister did on my behalf for Dominique, and Dominique did. And so, like, we know now that, like, I have, my family has roots in Nigeria, it's in Angola, but as a child, I didn't know that. And even still to this day, like, while I think Nigerian culture is beautiful and Angolan culture, I'm sure is too, I don't relate to it in the way that someone might who knows that, you know, my ancestors came over on a boat from Italy in 1600, and my mother's been making Italian dishes, you know, because they've been passed on through generations in our family, and has like that type of relationship, right? Or somebody who, O'Donnell, who, like, Liam O'Donnell, from whose family's from Ireland. Like, I don't feel the connection to Nigeria even now, knowing, you know, for however many years since it's been that Lauren did the 23andMe, that that's
name
where my
is like descendant of some slave owner. Yeah. Like, it's all like, it's...
So those projects used to really frustrate me, because it's like, it's not fair that you, like, a lot of times these white schools are asking us to, like, I feel like Dominique was like, "What? I never had to do that type of shit." Cause you went to Black schools. They knew better than to ask you to do that. Me with all these white people, I always was asked to do that. And it's like, I don't effing know. My family's Black American. And so at our kids' school, they make a point from kindergarten on in the social studies curriculum to really try to understand, like, the kids' uniqueness, and they call it like roots or like this ethnography project once they're in middle school. And but I thought what was nice about it, like, it was frustrating me at points, because my daughter just wants an answer that looks like her friend's answers, right? She's like, "I'll put Angola, I think there was a little bit of Irish in there." I'm like, "We're not Irish, slow your roll, like chill, buddy." But like, there were, as once we got past those initial questions, like one of them, for instance, was like, how do you greet people? Like, is there a special cultural greeting? And like, there isn't, like, you know, we don't say like bow or do anything like that. But I was like, but you know what? Like, I think I was like, one, I'm a hugger, but two, like, also, like, and when I see a Black person on the street, like, I nod at them, especially in areas where there are less Black people.
I don't nod at Black people in DC.
I mean, but well, like, if I'm in the grocery store in our neighborhood, for instance, where there's mostly white shoppers and Black people working, I know half their names, right? Like, and so, and I'm like, and that's important. And I think that's important, not because I really think a revolution's starting. And she was like, but that's not culture. I'm like, but it is, Avery, like, looking out for people who society hasn't always looked out for, like that we are the same. And, you know, like people that may, like, sometimes I see Black people walking around and like, or brown people walking around, and it seems like some people don't notice us or them. And it's like, I will always notice you, like no matter where we are. And so I think it's, I never had those explicit conversations with my parents growing up, even though, like, I saw them doing those things. But I think it's been annoying at first that this project forced our daughter to feel like she was like cultureless and we had to have these conversations, but also nice, because it's like, making sure you know these things, like, this is, you want to know who we are or how our culture has shaped us in whatever ways. And that's a big one.
Yeah. I mean, I talked to her about the history of DAP, and also
which I did not know.
Yeah. Taught you something new. But the Black American is culture, like, that is. And I don't know, like, if you've
but
read,
she like wanted something like else, 16, like, she 19, wanted like,
or like the,
yeah,
I mean, or watch the documentary that they have on Hulu that talks a lot about that. It's like how there are no people more American than Black people, given that, like, all the freedoms that we say that we want, we've gotten closer to most of them as a result of sacrifice. and commitment by the Black people in this country. And the power that the country has and the wealth that the country has is largely built on the sacrifice of Black people. So when you're in class and people are like, hey, are you, I'm from Ireland. Like, no, motherfucker, I'm American as it gets. More American than anybody can be American, I guess, except for...
Let's be competitive about it. Why are we? Except for maybe Native Americans.
But I mean, yeah. But,
We're all equally whatever we want
to
be.
I know, but the point is, it at least it feels, you can feel like, you can be made to feel inferior because you don't have these connections because it was taken from you. So I think the opposite of that is to understand that it's not inferior. It's a different path. But anyway,
segue from that to something I loved. I've enjoyed watching media professionals women's basketball recently, which I hate to say this. I could call it a controversial opinion, wink, wink, but I was scared to write it down. I never used to love women's college basketball. But lately I find myself liking it as much, if not more, than men's. And I was watching the championship game and the other Final Four. I've been watching kind of earlier on as Maryland lost, but following Maryland. And then they lost, continuing to watch like in the Elite Eight and Final Four. And Angel Reese, her like waving at the girl to point to her ring finger and all that stuff. Like, I think especially because she's a Black woman, I'm like, talk your shit. Like, and like inspire me to too. I don't got the same type of shit to talk, but like if I could come up with some, I would be doing it. Like, I love seeing that. I get that some people probably think that it was like rude or whatever. I don't know that. I haven't really been paying attention to the discourse around it. But anyway, I thought that was lovely. And she's from Randallstown, which is where Dominique Foxworth is from. So, and her brother does play for Maryland. So go Terps.
She used to play for Maryland, but she rolled out on us. That's all right.
Better championship like things. Okay. So anything else to say about that before I end
nope,
with
you got
your,
it.
Your Rose and Thorn, which I think segues to our game.
Nice.
Your Rose is that. So he did do like something called like South Beach Sessions with Dan Le Batard, like our conversation. And you said really nice things about me in there.
However,
your Thorn is that you kind of made it sound like, and you did kind of clearing it up later, but you made it sound like being hot, like you're not with me because I'm hot, which you're not, I'm glad you're not, but like that's not something you value about me or like think about me. And I get some people would not think that that is a thorn, but one, it feels a little dishonest because what we have started dating.
It is dishonest. That's why I cleared it up.
Yeah. And two, also, like, you better still think I'm hot always. I remember when we were first dating, I
think you misunderstood. The point was the things that I think are attractive are different now that I'm older and more mature. Like, obviously, the traditional attractive things, you have all those things, but it's not like, and I think, never mind, I was going to drag Addy into this and speak for all men, which is a bad idea. I'll fall on this sword by myself. The point is, there are lots of different ways to be attractive that did not exist to me before I fell in love with you. That was like, there was like one thing or like two things, maybe three. But now there are other things.
And I didn't have
not
all of them. So yeah. You let me slide on a few that you liked.
There are other things that are not always visible that I find more attractive than I thought I ever could.
Okay, fine. The end. So now, when we have started dating, though, given that you didn't know those things about me a long time ago, let's go, team.
Yeah, because you're still hot. All right, Christina, take over. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Barnstown, Kentucky. 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Swimsuit, check. Sunscreen, check. Phone charger, check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or in a carry-on. And the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DF today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DF.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So Sarah and I have created fake profiles. I guess we'll bleep out the name of the dating app because no free sponsorship here.
Yes.
But we created fake profiles for both me, Sarah, and Addie for you two to guess which dating profile matches which producer. And then we made fake profiles for the two of you to see, would you swipe right if you didn't already know each other?
Addie looks displeased.
Well, Addie didn't really want to participate. And I said, too bad we're doing it.
Nice.
So we're all, the three of us made dating profiles, and I'm going to read profile by profile, just the prompts. So I'll read you question and answer. And after each one, you have to decide which one of us made this profile. And I'll let you know, obviously, who's who.
Sarah's going to be the easiest.
Yeah.
Okay. So are we ready?
I'm ready. Yep.
First dating profile. Dating me is like riding an ocean wave. I promise you let go and ride the current. You'll have so much fun. That's number one.
So far I'm picking Addie.
That leans Addie.
The second prompt is, the best way to ask me out is by... apparently telling me you want to pick my brain about journalism, media, spirituality, and then me realizing halfway through, I'm on a date.
Spirituality is still giving me. Addie, let's do it. Also, Addie, I feel like I've been calling you Addie this whole time because I thought it was Adnan, but it's Adnan and it's Addie. My apologies.
It's Adnan. So Addie Bengali means destiny, but then my own mom is from Mass, so she calls me Addie. So
okay.
It's like,
okay. It's everything. Okay. Well, cool. Then I guess I haven't totally butchered it. Anyway, so last one.
Last one is, the dorkiest thing about me is I love the Fast and the Furious series.
Mm.
I would have not guessed that, but what are you on, honey? I'm still on.
Yeah. I mean, the last Fast and the Furious made me think Sarah, but I still am leaning. Addie, what are you? I don't know. Fast and the Furious really pulls it. Spirituality, riding the wave. We have to agree, huh?
No offense.
No, you don't. You don't have to agree.
Christina, but I'm seeing Fast and Furious. I'm like, that could be Christina. I'm really lost here.
I'm going Sarah.
I'll stick with my original inclination and go Addie.
It's Addie.
Ah!
We're keeping track, guys. I won last week's game, too. I didn't know this was a competition, but...
All right,
next one.
Okay.
This profile says, my greatest strength is organizing the dishwasher to capacity to fit every single plate, thus never having to hand wash anything.
Christina, done.
Don't hate me if I prefer to eat all of my meals in bed. And the key to my heart is eating tacos and watching stand-up comedy.
Okay, so okay. Don't tell us who it is because then we won't.
Now do the next one.
Yeah, do the next one, but I'm leaning Christina.
Me too.
Now here's the last one. My most irrational fear is being audited.
Irrational fear sounds like Sarah, no offense. I have them too.
My most spontaneous thing that I've done, stealing the Declaration of Independence.
What?
And the last time I cried happy tears was when Ke Huy Quan's Oscar acceptance speech.
Yeah, it's definitely Sarah.
Yeah, I'm thinking Christina was one. But can we, once we get to the bottom of this, we do need to hear about stealing the Declaration of Independence. Okay, so we're going Christina for the
first one, and then Sarah for the second.
Second one.
That's correct.
Yes.
I still won, though, because...
So technically, Ashley did win. Ashley,
of course, yeah, she's a winner. All right, so Declaration of Independence. What the hell happened there, Sarah?
That's from the not Oscar winning, but should have been Oscar winning performance, National Treasure Book of Secrets.
Oh.
Steals the Declaration of Independence.
Okay. What a classic.
Just a classic. Classic film. Cinema.
See, really. I've never seen that. But if you had said Love Jones, I'd have been like, yeah. This is what Dominique means. I'm missing so much. But I'm just like, yeah.
Ashley and I filled out a couple of prompts also. And Ashley sent hers to Sarah. And Sarah.
And which was the directions. Y'all said text or email them to Sarah. And we have a Roses and Thorns group
To be
text.
Fair, those were my directions. Those were the directions.
And I could tell that. So when I had to go back, no offense, Sarah, but I never save anyone's numbers. So when I had to go back, I was like, okay, I know that's Christina. I can tell from some of the responses that this is Sarah. So I went and I saved Sarah's number because we weren't supposed to send them to everybody. So I could separately text her. I saved it from our Roses and Thorns group chat, from a response from someone in that group chat. Continue, honey.
Yeah, so Ashley sent her responses to Sarah, and Sarah responded by saying, hey, I'm sorry, but I think you have the wrong number. But I, too, hype myself up to Beyonce, and you should never swap one of those things out. So they continued to have a complete conversation.
Because we were supposed to have three questions. So I sent a fourth. I said, and my answer was like, and here's another one in case you want to swap one of the earlier prompts out.
Yeah, so they continued to have a full conversation where Sarah was trying to be kind to this person who she thought got sent the wrong phone number or something. Like, Sarah, what the hell happened?
Yeah, okay, so confusing. Let me explain.
And I'm like, what's Sarah's number?
I was sick last week. I was sick last week and had like a whole bunch of cold and flu medicine in me. I was half awake, half asleep when I got these texts. And kind of like Ashley, I didn't have her number saved because like I had everyone else's number saved. So when she would text, I knew it was her. And this was the first time we texted each other outside the group chat. So there was no previous messages.
That always is hard.
Can't talk. To go off of. And so I asked my roommate, I'm like, do you have this number? And she was like, no, do you think she got sent the wrong number on purpose? Because these are clearly from the dating app. And so I was like, oh my gosh, I think that's what happened.
And you were so sweet.
I was like, I have to be nice to her because like I've been stood up and like this is so mean that somebody sent her the wrong number on purpose.
Aww. Yes.
And then she texted the group chat, Sarah, what's your number? And immediately my heart sank. And I was like,
but
oh,
she was
no.
So sweet. But then also when the response, one, I was like, I don't even think I was stood up. Like, no. I was like, this is for a conversation I have to have for a work thing. But then I was self-conscious about that because this isn't really my job. But I was like, who's going to believe that? Who's going to believe like these dating prompts are for a work conversation? So I was like, she thinks like I stood up and now I'm lying about it. But this girl is so sweet. But then I was like, but Sarah would be this sweet. I was like, I was texting Dominique. So I was like, Dominique, what's Sarah's number? And he sent me the number that I had texted and saved, and then like I hit the group chat like, so I think I sent it to your DMs, like, and then you're like, oopsie, that was me. And I was like, I knew it was you because you were just so sweet.
No, I was like hoping we would continue on to be friends. I told my roommate, like, she's so nice, I want to be friends
like
with her.
The start of a best friend movie. All right, I'll read your profile, Ashley. All right. I mean,
also, can I admit that it was hard as hell? Like, yeah. I say that I'm jealous of people who like get to be on dating apps because it seems like fun and exciting to me. But it was so hard. And I was like, my answers are whack.
Very
probably
hard.
No one would want to date me from this. So like,
Addie and I were going back and forth, and I texted first and I said, I'm engaged and I'm sweating answering these questions as if somebody out there is going to be reading them. I'm nervous.
I'm so old school. Like, I can't, like, imagine using this to find someone.
Yeah.
So, like, and then having to explain yourself, like, that's, like, so hard to do.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's why you were like, I refuse to participate in this game.
But I should have, but I'm too much of a yes man.
I feel like I would just use the dating sites to put up numbers, honestly. It would not be like trying to meet somebody. I don't know. It feels like whatever. All right, I'll read yours.
Quite honestly, when Ashley reads your profile, that shows through.
Good.
Oh, Dominique, I haven't looked at it yet.
All right, so here's Ashley's profile. So I'm swiping immediately because you're attractive. And you said that, was it the first one?
But I have a Valentine's tree and a Valentine's dress. You'd be like, who is this? And then the next picture, I'm wearing like a Grinch outfit. Would you be like, because my festivity, like Dominique's come around to, like, who do you think puts up these damn trees? And, but like, it wasn't your original thing. You wouldn't be scared off by like this lunatic who has Valentine's decorations?
Nope.
That's so nice of you to say that. You would be.
I mean, we're not getting married. I told you I would be using these sites to put up numbers. You are worth joining the team, then sure. I get myself out of a funk by singing Anita Baker. Apparently you're 6'11", which I don't know how you got that. Another more hot pictures. I wind down listening to Lauryn Hill. Yep, I like Lauryn Hill. I won't shut up about anything. True. Yeah, you talk a lot. That's and your awareness of it.
My other one was I hype myself up by listening to Beyonce. Like all of the ones were just like, what artist do I listen to? Because it was so hard. Like, God bless people who really do well and like meet their spouses from these dating sites. Okay. What?
The pictures you guys chose are funny. Anyway, go ahead.
So now let's say I'm looking at Dominique's. My greatest strength, confidence. Ooh.
Sexy.
Sexy. Dating me is like being the head coach of a defending championship team.
Yep.
I don't think I understand that.
You don't have to.
Guess the song. So I typed a text to a girl I used to see saying that I'm singing it. He only put one line. So that would get me right there. So that song, what's the International Players Anthem?
Yep.
UGK. That's the Andre 3000 verse in the beginning. I'm Catholic. So our wedding was Catholic. So like, we had to do like Catholic hymns pretty much. My dream was like to walk down the aisle to that song, even though like half of it's about like being a pimp. Like it's awful.
Yeah. Andre's verse is the only one. Andre's verse is the only one. Like Big Boy is talking about child support. But
now even when she's like, be with me, you could be the eighth wonder of the world. I'm like, yes. I identified, except for it's about like being.
Yeah, pimp C.
But yes, I would swipe right. I like your confidence. I like that you look nice in a suit and your Broncos uniform. I might have picked there a couple pictures of you that I've seen like somewhere online, I guess, in your Ravens and actually one in your Falcons uniform where your butt looked real nice. So I might have maybe like if I were making your page, put that one up.
Yeah, I think the producers chose our pictures. I know. I look so skinny in this Broncos picture, which really? I mean, I guess I am, but. I would find a better picture that I look better.
That was probably when he was at his biggest, guys.
Probably. It's just a bad angle. No, that jersey was baggy. I got some tight jerseys, and then I look real sexy. But
oh my God, I would swipe right on you.
Yeah, I guess I would. I was going to say, I don't think I would put a picture of myself in a jersey on a profile. But yeah, that's the number one. It's like, look.
And he might put one of him like in his Harvard graduation robe, too.
Nah, absolutely not. Because then I would be attracting people that want to marry me. I don't want that. That's foolish. Just get these boppers out here and keep it moving.
So what would be the dating app for you? I feel like, is Hinge the one that you can make quick matches on?
No, that's Tinder. That's the swiping one.
Okay,
that's,
so you'd be on Tinder.
Oh, yeah. Putting in work.
I hate when you say your W's with a...
Oh, yeah, that's when you want to emphasize. You got to emphasize. You got a H, then W. Work.
It sounds gross. and I'm sure you would be. Okay, you know what, guys? I would like to thank you because literally, like, well, now more of my friends, like, aren't on dating sites. But, like, maybe, like, 10 years ago or however many years ago when I was, like, married with kids, my friends would be on dating sites. And I'm like, this looks so fun. Like, I miss this stage of it does not seem fun anymore now that I've tried to do it. It's stressful.
This is uncomfortable. Like,
just making Sarah feel like her fate is so sad. Like, why can't we be nicer about this? Like, let's think about how fun it would be. No, I commend
you for coming up with creative. Like, you do good at it. It's harder than I would have imagined.
It's very tough. I set my location to different countries, so then I can have more fun and not actually meet anybody. But
yeah. So you can put up numbers. Good for you, Sarah.
But she's not in the same country with them, so she can't put up numbers.
They got planes. They got planes. Hoes everywhere.
I mean, different Sarah, cities like you could it. Do.
She can rap all the rest of the verses to International Players Anthem. We can do the first one. All the rest of them are for Sarah because she's a player.
No, I want to be the eighth wonder of the world.
Good luck. All right, guys. I think we've got to go. I have to consummate this relationship again.
Ew, you're so weird. I actually thought, really, I was like, oh, poor Charlie. He's 12 minutes late. You're waiting. Oh, no, man. You're good. Well,
I'm going to have to make Charlie wait for 14 minutes. Bye, guys.
Did you notice I was wearing a pastel sweater for Easter, honey?
Nice. You get it? Beautiful.
It's like I'm a chickadee. I'm a dyed egg. Bye, y'all.
This is the Dominique Foxworth Show.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.